If you got your Bible, let's open them up to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel, the first chapter. I've got the next two healing schools, and the Lord impressed upon me this week to teach on a certain thing that I believe is an on-time, right-now word, specifically for you that are here today, those that will be here next week. And I'm going to call it, How to Conceive Your Miracle. How to Conceive Your Miracle. How many of you know the Bible is a book full of miracles? Amen. And a miracle is where God supersedes natural laws of nature to accomplish His purposes through His divine power and to accomplish His will here on the earth. Amen. And we should be seeing more miracles. We should be experiencing more miracles in our lives and all around our lives. Amen. And so what we're going to talk about today is one of the most common miracles that you see throughout the Bible. And what we see it manifested in is in a husband and wife that have not been able to conceive and bear a child, and how God supernaturally opens up the womb of the woman and gives her fruit in her life. And I believe that there's a reason why we see that example used a handful of times in the Scriptures, because I believe it's metaphorical. I believe it shows that how we, the bride of Christ, amen, are able to bear fruit for the Lord. And so since this is healing school, how about our breakthrough in the physical realm? Receiving healing in our bodies. How can we receive fruit of healing in our lives? So we're going to look at a few examples starting this week. Today we're going to look at one that's more of a relatively obscure example that most people aren't as familiar with. But maybe next week we'll look at Abraham and Sarah, and maybe even Mary, the mother of Jesus, and how she had her immaculate conception with Jesus. But today, I want to look at Hannah. Hannah was a woman in the Old Testament that wasn't able to have children, and God blessed her and gave her Solomon, who was one of the greatest prophets we saw in the Old Testament. Amen. And there's some really good principles that we can learn from this story. So I want us to look at this together. And we're going to start today. Let's skip ahead in chapter 1 and look at verse 20. We're going to start in verse 20, and then we're going to come back and cover the things that led up to this particular miracle in this woman's life. Amen. It says in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, "So it came to pass." Now, I don't know about you guys, but I got a few times in my Bible highlighted, underlined, and circled the phrase, "it came to pass." How many of you know that's mentioned in the Bible a whole lot of times? And a lot of times you need to realize from that is the thing that has come into your life, the thing that has come to steal, kill, and destroy from you, came so that what? It could pass. It's not supposed to be living there in your life, dwelling there. The Bible says over in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." You're not supposed to be pitching camp there. You're not supposed to be dwelling there. You might go through some things, but the fact is you're supposed to be going through them. You're supposed to be passing through them. So it came to pass in this woman's life, in the process of time, that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord." Now, the reason why she made this statement, "Because I have asked for him from the Lord," and this is why she named him Samuel, is because if you look in the margin of your Bible, most of our Bibles have a little one by the name Samuel, and that means in the margin it's going to tell you in the Hebrew what this name meant. And this is very significant to what we're going to talk about today. If you look in the margin of your Bible, the name Samuel means heard by God. Heard by God. So she named this miracle child heard by God because she had poured out her soul, as we're going to see today. She had requested and even made petitions of the Lord to be able to receive this child that she was not able to bear in the flesh. And because she considered herself to be heard by God from her request, she names her son this. So I'm going to talk to you today about how to be heard like Hannah. How can we be heard like Hannah was? Now, I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit when we're talking about being heard. I know there's a lot of belief systems out there about how the Lord responds to our prayers. And I think most people believe that because God is all-knowing and that God's all-powerful and God's everywhere all the time, that when we talk to the Lord, He always hears us. Okay? And technically that's true. He could choose to hear us all the time. But you know, there's a Bible scripture that actually teaches us that God doesn't hear everything that's lifted up to Him. Go in your Bible, hold your place right here, and go over to 1 John chapter 5 with me. And I want to show you a verse that proves that God doesn't just automatically hear everybody all the time when they petition Him or ask Him of certain things. In 1 John chapter 5, a verse that's very near and dear to my heart, says this, starting in verse 14, and we'll look at verse 15 as well. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him. How many of you know we can have confidence in our God? You can absolutely, positively be confident in knowing that God will do what He said He would do. Because why? You've come to know the nature and character of God. Because you've read His Word and you find out what His will is. And because of these things, you can be so convinced, so persuaded that God will do certain things that you will almost even come across to other people as arrogant. Kind of reminds me of David when he showed up when Goliath was breathing those threats. And how many of you know we all got these little giants in our life as well? And David shows up and David starts barking some things back out of his mouth concerning what God was going to do through him to this giant. And you'd have to add to the Bible to believe that God actually told him that he was going to do this. I don't believe he did. I believe David had such a relationship with his God. He knew his God so well that he knew God was going to back up whatever he said was going to happen. Would to God that Christ Church today would have this much confidence in God. That we would know that we know and have this kind of confidence in God, knowing He's going to back us up. So it says, now this is the confidence that we have, and this confidence is not in you. This confidence is not in your husband. This confidence is not in your pastor. What is this confidence in? It's in Him. It's in Christ Jesus. It is confident in the fact that God will back you up. This is why it says over in the scripture we use all the time, Mark 11, 23 and 24, that what leads up to us saying to our mountain and seeing it removed is He says, have faith in God. Amen. You got to have some faith in God. And like I said on Sunday, not faith in your faith, not faith in your words, not faith in your ability to stand. Your faith is in God. That's where your confidence is, and that's what this scripture is saying. So this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He what? Hears us. So what is that indicating right there? That this means that not necessarily anything that anybody asks of God, God's necessarily hearing it. This is saying if we ask anything according to His will, then He hears us. And notice what it goes on to say in verse 15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Now, pay special note to the word petitions because we're going to revisit this at the end today because this word is really important. It is our petitioning the Lord according to His will and asking in that way. That's what God hears. So obviously, Hannah did a little bit of this. When Hannah came to the Lord regarding wanting this child for her life, she evidently followed through with this scriptural principle because we know God heard her and granted her her request and given her that son. Amen? So let's go back over to 1 Samuel and let's look at a few things that she did to be heard by God. And this is really important to our lives, saints, not just for physical healing that you might be believing God for right now. It can also apply to many different things for you experiencing the will of God for your life in any area. Amen. So in starting in verse 1, now I'm going to go ahead and just prepare you for something. I am not a Hebrew scholar or rabbi, so I don't necessarily know how to pronounce every Hebrew word and Hebrew name. So I'm going to take some liberty with some of these names today, okay? All right. So it says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Zophim, see, I don't even get the places right, of the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tophu. The son of Zoph, an Ephraimite, and he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Panini. Panini. Is anybody else getting hungry in this place today? We're talking about tofu and panini sandwiches. Amen. Y'all just got to come to understand me. I'm just goofy like this. I'm pretty much like this all the time. Just ask my wife and son. So he goes on to say that Panina had children, but Hannah had no children. So this man had two wives, and one of them was bearing him children. She was being fruitful, might we say. But he had another wife who had no children, named Hannah. And this man went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And whatever the time came, or whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. Hey, pretty nice, you know, we're going up to give an offering. It's kind of like some of you might have done if you raised your kids in church, that you showed up, you bringing an offering, and you got your kids, and so you give them a couple of bucks to put it in the offering too, right? Kind of the same thing's happening right here. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb. Now, let me quickly address this fact that the Bible says that the Lord had closed her womb. And when you read the Old Testament, there are sometimes things that seem to indicate that God was directly responsible for things, but I believe a lot of times that was just because in their mind, if you weren't blessed with something, it was because the Lord hadn't necessarily given you that. So I'm not necessarily of the persuasion that God is withholding these things, but just sometimes from a natural reason, even a demonic reason, lots of different reasons why people aren't experiencing what every person should be allowed to experience in their life, and in this case, a woman bearing children. Amen? Don't worry, the miracle I'm talking about conceiving in your life today, ladies, is not for you to bear another physical child. All right? Let me just quickly address that. To some of us, that might not be a blessing, that might be a cursing at this point in our life, right? So we're not talking about that. We're talking metaphorical. We're talking about the spiritual ways in which these things are born in our life. But this is something I want to bring out to you about this. So he had two wives, and he was given portions to both of them to give these offerings. And it was obvious he loved his other wife that was bearing him children, but he would give a double portion to the one that wasn't bearing him children, which is kind of an uncommon thing back then, because back then they considered someone being blessed by how many children the woman could bear. Not only that, but how many boys she could have. Right? That was the kind of mentality they had back then. So it was actually some uncommon favor that Hannah was receiving. Notice what I said. Uncommon favor that Hannah was receiving from the Lord, from her master, and from her husband, to be able to get twice as much as the one that was bearing fruit. Now, what does this speak to us? I believe this describes two different camps in the bride of Christ. That there are some of us that are pretty doggone fruitful. Some of us got things going on in our life. We're receiving the blessings of the Lord. Good things are happening in our life, and we might not have any major malfunctions in our physical body. And praise the Lord for that. But that does not mean that those of us that aren't necessarily bearing that fruit in our life are any less favored from the Lord. Did you hear what I said? Because I think a lot of times people equate blessings being accomplished in our life, things we're experiencing, as being, well, God favors me because these things are happening, or God does not favor me because I'm not having it happen in my life what everybody else is. When you read a verse like this, what are you seeing? You are learning that it doesn't necessarily indicate whether you're favored by the Lord, whether you're being fruitful or not. Amen. So somebody needs to hear that today, because some of us, we've been struggling. We've been trying to believe God for a long time. We haven't necessarily been walking in the fruit of everything God says is for us. And we might believe in our heart, God, where are you? Do you not love me like you love so-and-so, because I'm seeing what's happening in their life? You need to erase that from your mentality. The Bible says over in Romans chapter 8 that I am persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to describe some bad situations and circumstances one can go through in their life. And the reason why I believe Paul said that is because people have the tendency to believe God doesn't love them because of the things that are happening to them or have happened to them. And that's not true. Circumstances are in no way an indication of God's favor and love in our lives. There's a lot of reasons why things happen. All right, and we're not going to necessarily get into that today, but you need to know today, you can have twice as much favor in your life being completely unfruitful in terms of receiving the promises of God as those out there that seemingly have no problems. Praise the Lord, amen, hallelujah. That's good news for me today. And so then it goes on to say, and her rival, say rival, also provoked her severely to make her miserable, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat. And it goes on to describe after this that she was basically depressed, right? Because of what somebody else was doing to them, doing to her, and what she was experiencing from them. Now, here there's two different ways that you can respond by how people treat you. When somebody does something wrong to you, you have basically a choice. Are you going to be bitter or are you going to be better? And what I love about Hannah is, yes, she was tempted to get downcast, discouraged, and depressed, but what she allowed this provoking from her rival to do in her was it actually provoked her to her miracle. I love that right there. So when people are doing these things against you, you can absolutely use it as a stepping stone to come up hither and receive more from the Lord. It's always an opportunity, and amen. You can take every bad situation you go through, every bad relationship, every bad thing, and say, this is an opportunity for me to go up higher in the Lord. I can choose to respond correctly, and I'm going to become better out of this. In fact, you should probably start talking like that. I'm going to be better out of this. I'm going to come out of this. I'm going to be strong. Amen. I'm not going to let this get me down. Yeah, I'm tempted to be down and saddened and mourning and all this kind of stuff, but I am not going to stay in this here pity party. I'm going to come out of it, and I'm going to overcome. And you got to talk that way. In fact, you got to talk to your soul a little bit. Amen. Oh, soul, what did the psalmist say? Oh, soul, why are you downcast within me? Have you ever done that before? I mean, you're down and discouraged, and why are all these things happening? And you just talk to yourself, say, hey, Trey, get out of that pity party right now. You are not going to stay down. And you encourage yourself in the Lord, like David did. Amen. Praise God. So this is what's happening. She let it provoke her to her miracle. Verse 8, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? And why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Now, apparently, Hannah's husband didn't have a lot of wisdom at this point in his life. Because I have found that that doesn't necessarily go over well when you say that to your spouse. In fact, I've tried it before. Shannon, why are you down right now? Am I not better to you than having all these other things you think you have? I'm kidding. I've never said that before. Because I know how that would go over. But that's what he said. He said, because he's been favoring her, he's been showing her a lot of blessing. And then Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. And now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Now, it's hard to really illustrate what she was doing here, because we're going to go on to find out from this that he actually thought she was drunk by the way this was manifesting and what she was doing. But what I think we can basically take from this is, and here's the lesson, it was obvious that Hannah was praying with her whole heart. There was emotions contained in how she was presenting this to the Lord and everything that was revolving around this thing that had provoked her to go to the house of the Lord and lift up this petition to the Lord. She prayed with her whole heart. And to me, this has been an experience I've had that any time in my life that I have prayed to the Lord with my whole heart, and what I mean by that is, I mean, I really desired it. I really needed it. I really wanted it. And I spent some continued hours in pursuing it. Every single time I've ever done that, I got exactly what I wanted. But there's been a lot of times in my life through just my casual request of the Lord and my prayer every now and then and, you know, half-hearted kind of prayers. Most of the time, that never happens. Right? Has anybody else can testify to this? And I believe there is something to be said for how much of our heart that we're seeking the Lord with. In fact, let's put up that scripture, Mary, in Jeremiah 29. Y'all are familiar with Jeremiah 29:11. You don't necessarily have to turn there. But I want you to notice what he says in lieu of all the plans that God has for you, the thoughts he thinks towards you, the plans that are good, not of evil, and where he wants to accomplish his plan in your life. He makes sure to throw this in there after he says that. And you will seek me, and you will find me. When, say when. When you search for me with all your heart. And what that indicates is, if you're seeking him and you're trying to find him with part of your heart, you're not going to necessarily find him. You're not going to get what you need. There's something to be said for everything in me is inclined and focused and pouring over into receiving this one thing. Amen? And I think this was one of the first steps now for Hannah coming to receive what she needed to hear and having God hear her. Amen? She came into it with all her heart. Say, all her heart. Amen. So then it says in verse 11 that she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Now, I'm not necessarily a proponent about making vows to the Lord. And the reason why, I mean, I think that there is a place for that, but I've seen too many people do this with the wrong spirit. They're in trouble, they're in a problem and in a predicament, and something bad's about to happen to them, and they come to the Lord and say, Lord, if you'll just get me out of this one more time, I'll serve you all the days of my life. And people make a lot of vain promises, empty promises during that time. And how many of you found out that a lot of times when people do that, he'll get them out of it, and then they just go back like a dog returning to its own vomit. So that right there is not necessarily what the Lord is looking for. But what I think we can learn from this is this. She was obviously wanting this fruit in her life, fruit of her womb, for the glory of God, for the purposes of God. Last time I taught healing school, I think it was at the beginning of August, I asked you guys a question, and I got a lot of good feedback from this, because this was something I think a lot of people didn't ever think about, is why do you want to be healed? What's your motivation for actually wanting to be healed in your life? And I wasn't asking this question like, well, you shouldn't really want it. No, it was like, just actually you need to think about what is your motivation for actually wanting this. And most people, if they're just being honest, is they just want a better quality of life. They want to stop hurting. And God wants you to have a better quality of life, and He wants you to stop hurting. But I come to find out there are actually some good, honorable motivations that one needs to have and pursuing God for His best in their life. And that's what I think she was doing right here. She was seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. Seeking first God's kingdom, because God needed a voice. The Bible says in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There wasn't a lot of prophetic utterances going forth. And so this whole situation propelled Israel into having an actual voice from the Lord that brought them a king and then ultimately brought them David, the man after his own heart. And all of this came as a result of this woman seeking first the kingdom of God. You need to see that you receiving your miracle, your healing, and the fruit God desires to have in your life has far more ramifications in your life than just you not being in pain anymore, than just you not having to go to the doctor anymore. There is a long list of people that will be impacted through your healing, and you go into it like Hannah did, with seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness kind of mentality, setting your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. And what did He say? And it will be given to you. You will receive. Amen. So I think that's really a good lesson to take away from this. Amen. And it says, verse 12, "And it happened, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli watched her mouth." Amen. I found myself, we had a prayer meeting last night, and I was watching people's mouth. Amen. I was watching as we were praying, because we were praying in tongues a long time, and I was watching. But you know, the priest, he saw her mouth, and what you're going to find out right here is that when he saw this, notice this, she spoke in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. Now, I don't know necessarily what would make him think. I don't know what kind of alcohol they had back then that would make somebody do something like this. I know we got some strong drugs today that'll make some people do some things like that. But the fact is, whatever reason, the priest thought she was drunk. And I love this right here, that when he came to her and rebuked her, he said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord." And then she goes on to say, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Notice a couple of words she mentions. He thought she was drunk from a physical, natural perspective, but she uses words like pouring out her soul. Sounds like what you would do with liquid, right? Maybe liquor in this situation. And out of the abundance of my heart. So being full. So it's almost kind of like she was saying, "Nah, I'm not drunk as you suppose. But in my soul and in my heart, I am spiritually pouring out of the abundance of my heart." Amen, praise the Lord. And you know where I'm going with this, because this here is a Pentecostal church. Oh, glory to God. Not the Pentecostal that makes the women not wear any makeup and wear dresses down to their ankles. No, I'm not talking about that kind of Pentecost. I'm talking about Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, where it says the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And on that day in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost was poured out, what did people suppose was going on with them? Everybody was saying, "Hey, these guys are drunk with some new wine." So oftentimes, being full of the Holy Spirit can be confused with being drunk. Amen. And the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Ghost." And he was not just throwing together a couple of examples. He was basically saying, yeah, don't be drunk in this world, but get drunk on the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's like getting filled with some new wine, praise God. And it will produce in you a lot of the effects that many of us in this place have in our past. Trey BC is what I'm referring to. Before Christ. That we have used to like to have a little drink because we liked being free of all inhibitions. You know, the only time I would ever dance was when I'd had a little bit too much to drink. And I liked it because you know why? When I'd had too much to drink, I didn't care what people thought. And did you know when you have a little bit too much to drink of the Holy Spirit, you're also not going to care what people think. You're not going to care. And that's what was happening with Hannah. Hannah did not care what the priest thought. She did not care what his two sons thought. She didn't care what anybody else in the house of the Lord thought. She only cared about getting what God had for her. And I'm here to tell you today, some of us need to go after the Holy Spirit with all of our heart, get so full of Him that you're not worried about what anybody else on these here Thursday mornings are worried about you. You're going to go after it with everything that's in you. Because why? The Holy Spirit's filling you up to such a place. Woo, glory to God. It's fun. Amen? I mean, in case you haven't figured out by now, I don't care what people think very much. You know? I mean, it's just, particularly not in this element. Right now, I've done some things that I'll go back and watch videos or listen to it, and I'm like, good gosh, did I say that? Did I do that? But at the moment, I didn't care. Just like some of you, when you were at the bars in your former days and you'd had too much to drink, you didn't care. Right? Some of you need to stop caring now. Amen. So this is happening in her life, and I want you to notice that she answered, you know, out of the abundance of my complaint, she explained to the priest what was happening. Then Eli answered, verse 17, and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition. Remember that word. Go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of Him. And I'm going to read from you from the NIV, the non-inspired version. The non-inspired version goes on to say in verse 18, but Eli, I don't feel like I've conceived yet. And can you please come lay hands on me or speak a word over me? And can you do a few more things to make me feel comfortable to leave to actually know that something's happened? Nah, that's not what Hannah did. Look what she did in verse 18. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. I'm telling you right here, saints, this is one of the key ways to receive from the Lord. This is one of the reasons why she received from the Lord. Because she approached the Lord with all her heart, poured out her soul, and totally went after it. But when she got a word from God's representative, go in peace, basically saying, it's done, the Lord's granting your request, she believed the word that was spoken to her. And you know how you knew she believed? Because she went her way and started eating again. Her face wasn't sad anymore. You know how one of the ways that we can know that you're getting it? It's when you act like you would act if you did get it. I'm going to say that again because I know it's Thursday morning. Some of you hadn't had your Jehovah Java yet and woken up. I'm here to tell you today, we know that you've got it when your countenance, your words, and things like that are indicative of somebody that's actually got it. You know, because I've dealt with people, you've seen it before. Have you ever run into somebody that hit like some kind of huge windfall in their life? Maybe, God forbid, they won the lottery or something like that. And these people, they, oh my gosh, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. There is no question in whether the person really got it or not, right? But then some of us try to act all spiritual and say all the right spiritual things and say, well, praise the Lord, I believe I receive in Jesus' name. You don't believe, because if you believe, you would act like it. Amen. If you really believed, you received when you prayed, according to Mark 11, 23 and 24, which is what He tells us to do, and what Hannah did, there will be a manifestation in your emotional makeup. Some of us need to put some new makeup on this morning. I'm not talking about the flesh physically, so don't look at me with those daggers in your eyes. But what I'm saying is today, there is a washing of our face like they would do after they would mourn, weep, fast and pray. They would wash their, man, I'm getting this straight from the Holy Ghost. This is good right here. They would wash their face. See, I think that's symbolic of something today. The Lord says you got to wash your face. Too many people are not receiving what God has for them simply because they are not rejoicing. They're not happy. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Amen? And what that means, that doesn't mean if I ha 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 enough, it'll happen for me necessarily. I don't think that's what he's saying. What he's saying is if you actually have a merry heart, if you actually are in your heart impacted by the truth to where there is joy in the house of the Lord, it works like a medicine in my life. A lot of times the things that we're experiencing in the flesh physically are a reflection of what's transpiring on the inside of us. That's the truth. I mean, I can sit and take you through a bunch of scriptures in the Proverbs that talks about how the strong spirit of a man sustains him in sickness. Amen? And how a sound heart is life to the body. Lots of stuff in wisdom teaching us that somebody's outward condition is directly tied to their inward condition. So what does that mean? You should be guarding your heart with all diligence. You should be guarding your thought life, because what's happening here will greatly dictate how much you're going to receive out here. Amen. So she said, I'm just going to go my way. I'm going to start eating, and my face is no longer going to be sad. Somebody write down that thing about washing your face. I don't want to forget that. That's pretty good. So then it goes on to say, then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Now, how many of you know that when Elkanah knew Hannah, that wasn't like he just sat down on the side of the bed with her and said, hey, Hannah, let me learn more about you. I'd like to get to know you a little bit more. Right? No. When the Bible talks about knowing like that, what are we talking about? Intimacy. Right? And so what does this show us? It teaches me a very important lesson that when it comes to conceiving our miracle, I think sometimes you and I are not always positioning ourselves for our miracle. We expect the miracles to be God invading our world and doing all of it. But how many of you know, if you go read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 where the gifts of the Spirit are described, that one of the gifts of the Spirit that includes the word miracles is not just called the gift of miracles. What's it called? The working. The working of miracles. Meaning that there is an activity that precedes the miracle. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is go read the Bible. Every time when miracles happen, what was it? Stretch out your rod. You know, I mean, there was always something that one did. Like, for example, with the Cana of Galilee miracle. There had to be some vessels filled with some water. But if there wouldn't have been a working, there wouldn't have been no miracle. Right? So when it comes down to this, what we are learning is you got to do what God tells you to do. And in this case, you got to operate according to some natural laws, baby. You know, it's funny because I run into people a lot of times and we got this mentality of, oh, God blessed such and such with a new child. Oh, God blessed her with this child and all this kind of stuff. And they'll even say that with things that were done out of wedlock. You know, we'll even use terminology like that. Somebody's going around and sleeping around with a bunch of guys and she starts conceiving all the time. Well, the Lord just blessing her with children. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, in terms, that's not the terminology I'd be using. The terminology I'd be using is, nah, she's just cooperating to some natural laws of seed time and harvest. And that's the natural byproduct. I mean, you know, there are certain groups out there that don't believe in using any kind of protection and all this kind of stuff and, you know, and all these kind of things. And these people, they just have more kids than everybody else. I guess God just loves them more than everybody else, right? They're having more kids, right? God's blessing them. No, they're just operating according to a natural law which puts them in the position to receive God's blessings. So what can we take away from this with Hannah? Is that Hannah could have gone and done all this, poured out her soul, received the word from the man of God, walked away believing she received, and then came home and decides she ain't going to lay with her husband. And what's going to happen? No Samuel. Y'all are acting like this is a strange thing to you this morning. Wouldn't that be exactly what would happen, Wanda? No, there has to be a cooperation with the laws of God. And when I'm talking about the laws of God, I'm talking about the principles of God. And man, I could sit here, if I got time this morning, I could take you through Mark chapter 4, and I could teach you for hours and hours and hours about what God's kingdom principles are to receiving from Him. And He talks about how a man would sow a seed on this ground, and it would produce fruit. And it would spring forth and it would start producing this stuff, and he didn't even know how it was happening. And we're giving those principles to teach us how things work all the time in the kingdom of God. But a lot of Christians are doing exactly what the farmer was, the opposite of what the farmer was doing then. They got a field, they got some seed in their satchel, but they're going around saying, "Oh God, please give me a harvest. Oh God, I need a harvest in my life." Yet they're not operating according to a spiritual law that's a lot like a natural law of sowing seed in good ground and expecting the harvest to come. That's good preaching, Pastor Trey. Amen. We could go eat then. Let's go get a panini and some tofu. Amen. Nah, but what we're saying here is there is a cooperation with it. And this is what I want to end with today, because we could get into a lot of details there, and I could give you a lot more information on that if you desire to know what those kingdom principles are. But I want to give you one really important one. Remember I told you to make note of the word petition. How Eli said to her, "The Lord grant your petition." One of the things that I've been teaching on Wednesday evenings here on our corporate prayer times are the different kinds of prayer that one can pray. And to you, this might be a strange thing. What do you mean different kinds of prayer? No, the Bible actually teaches us in Ephesians 6:18 that there are many different kinds of prayer. And it's important for you and I to know which prayer is appropriate for which situation. Because like I just used the example of in Mark 11:23 and 24, there is a prayer of faith that needs to be prayed sometimes to where you pray once and you believe you receive and that's it. There's not the continuous prayers of lifting it up constantly for days, weeks, months on end with that kind of prayer. But there's the prayer of intercession that would be me knocking and knocking and keep on knocking, asking and asking and keep on asking, seeking and seeking and keep on seeking. So you got to know in what situation which kind of prayer is appropriate. Amen. There's also a prayer of petition, though. And do you remember that's what we saw in 1 John chapter 5 was he would grant those petitions. So asking according to the will of God was the key to receiving your petition. Now, what is a petition? Well, it can be summarized basically as a request, but this is what I found it's defined as. This is the definition for a petition. A formal written request. Say that again. A former written request addressed to a sovereign superior for a particular right or grace. Ah. Now I want you to notice because the words that are used here, the terminology here is so important. A formal written request. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you have to always write it out, but I'm going to show you today how writing it out can be a way to cement it in your heart. A formal written request, and it being formal means this is not just the casual, half-hearted kind of thing. We're talking, this is a formal way of doing it. You might put your suit and tie on to do this. You see what I'm saying? This is special here, baby. This is different. This is not like me just, well, oh God, please do this today. No, I have a date with the Lord. I have an appointment. We got a meeting. And I'm coming before the Lord in this special place and time to come and approach him with this written formal request. And notice how it was addressed to a sovereign superior. Now, what does that mean? That means that a lot of times, I've come to find this out, in the way the church is today, I think we have a little bit of a problem. And this problem is that while we're coming to receive the revelation of God's love for us, and you know, I've been preaching on the love of God, and I think it's really important. But I think that what the majority of the church is erring in today is while we are getting this revelation of God's love for us and that He's my Abba Daddy, I think we've left behind and forgotten the sovereign, reverential fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about being afraid of God. I'm talking about the respect, the honor, and the reverence that one has to Him. And I think sometimes we're just a little too casual. We need to realize He is your Father, and He loves you a whole lot. But He's also God, and He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And there are times and places where you got to realize that you're not approaching Him necessarily as Daddy right now. I'm approaching Him as Almighty God. I'm seeing Him as a sovereign and a superior. Because when you do that, you're going to also be viewing Him as the one that's able to do it too. Oh, praise God. So a sovereign superior for a particular, look at this, for a particular right or grace. See, the key is here is me realizing what my rights are. Amen. Because do you remember what I said? 1 John chapter 5 taught us that if anybody asks according to His will, which was really the key, you got to know what His will is. What does He want you to have? Ephesians says, don't be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And I know there's a lot of people out there that'll say, well, you're just never going to know what God's will is. Oh, God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and they're past finding out. Who can know them? Who knows what our sovereign God will do today? Well, how do you know what God's going to do? And you'll get all these religious people saying all this. The Bible is very clear that you and I can know His thoughts and you can know His ways. Because right after He said His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, in the prophet Isaiah, you know what he said in the very next breath? For as the rain comes down from the heavens and as the snow comes down and does not return there. You know what that's teaching us? The Lord wants those high thoughts, those high ways to come down like the rain does from heaven and bless your field so that you can be fruitful as a result of it. So where is that? It's in the Word. You find His will in His Word. And once you find out what His Word is, you're not praying from the standpoint, oh God, I just don't know what you're going to do. I'm praying from the standpoint of, oh God, I know exactly what you're going to do. It's my right, and I found it right here. I got chapter and verse on this. Chapter and verse. God says, remind me of my Word. Praise God. See, a lot of people, I've just come to find out, a lot of people don't pray this way. They don't talk this way. They don't believe this way. But this is the kind of person that's after God's heart that gets the results. So, I'll end with this. I pulled up, and this isn't something that I wrote, but I'm just going to read it to you, and I can give you a copy of this if this is something you'd like. I pulled up a written, formal request that I believe we can take, and I'm not one to take this, okay, let me copy and paste it and just put my stuff in there. You need to write it from your own heart. You need to have your own scriptures. You need to let this formulate from you for it to be as effective as it needs to be. But this just gives you like a template, okay? So this is an example of one of these petitions. Be it known this day. What is today? September the what? September the 14th. At 11:31, pastor's gone over a minute. 11:31 on Thursday morning, that I receive healing from such and such in my body. No sickness or disease of any kind has any place in my body. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace and present to you your word. According to John 16:23, Jesus said that you will grant whatever I ask in His name. In Mark 11:24, you said whatever I ask in prayer, believing that I will receive it, it will be given to me. Thank you, Jesus. I declare, according to Isaiah 53:5, Psalm 103:2-5, Psalm 91:9-10, and Psalm 91:14-16, and 1 Peter 2:24, that Jesus took all my sickness and disease today, tomorrow, and forever. I am healed by the blood of the Lamb, and I am protected from all plagues and sickness. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, which includes sickness and disease of any kind, according to Galatians 3:13. I bind Satan and all his forces, according to Matthew 18:18, and declare they will not hinder me from receiving this promise. I loose my ministering spirits, according to Hebrews 1:13-14, and charge them to go forth and cause this healing to come into my hands. I believe in my heart and declare with my mouth that I am healed. I thank you and praise you for healing me of this problem, and I thank you for making me whole. I believe, I receive today, not tomorrow, but today, I will not waver or doubt at your promise, but will stand firm. I praise you and thank you that I'm not waiting for this to manifest. I take it right now and hold it in my spiritual hands. And what do you see right down here on the bottom? Signature and the date. And you sign it like it's a written formal agreement. And you sign your name like it's a contract. And you put that thing where you can see it and remind yourself of it tomorrow and the next day when the birds of the air come try to remove that from you. And you say, nope, contract. Signed, sealed, delivered. It is done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And like it was with Hannah, she received in that moment, didn't she? She didn't go home and say, well, let me see if I miss my period. What did she say? I got it. Period. Amen. Stand on your feet. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Some of y'all, that'll hit you on the way home. Praise God. I got it. Period. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. If you need any of, if you'd like a copy of that, again, not for you to just copy and paste it and, you know, ape and imitate somebody else what they did. But if you'd like that, I can email it to you or make you copies or something like that, just so you'll have something that you can develop your own thing. But this is how you get it. This is how Hannah was heard. Because God hears His will. He hears the will that He's already expressed to us and says, what is ours? So, in the name of Jesus, lift your hands up to Him. Get yourself in submitted position. If you have a need, a physical problem that has need of being remedied in your life, we're going to receive right now in this place. Lord, we thank You that You are our sovereign superior. That You are God, and besides You there is none other. We see You as high and lifted up, the one who is not only able, but is willing to perform Your good word in our lives. And You have a good plan for us in this place. And we thank You today that You're working it in our lives. You're showing us how Hannah was heard and how I too can be heard in my life. Thank You for revealing these things to me today and showing me how to conceive my miracle so I can bear fruit for the glory of God, seeking first Your kingdom with it, and so that I can experience Your best in my life. Thank You, Jesus. Amen.